You know, I, like many others, try and use humor when I'm nervous. I try and be funny when I'm nervous because I certainly don't want anyone to throw stones at me, and I definitely don't want anyone to know how scared I am. If you've ever found me making a joke up here, you'll understand that I get a bit of actual stage fright. I'm actually petrified of being up here. The only thing that frightens me more than trying to convey the gospel message is someone sending me a text message going, "Remember to be funny, we like to laugh." Because then I have absolutely no idea where I want to go with that. But I was thinking about this. This is, as this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, this was the first Sunday I got to celebrate with you as your new pastor. And it was interesting to me, this past week I celebrated my 1-year anniversary, and then I got 3 funerals, and I figured out that everyone's dying to get out of here because apparently they don't want to be a pastor anymore. So I didn't really know how to take that, you know, just trying to put those two things together. But as much as my fear of trying to address these ideas may be, I was looking at Scripture and I actually found someone who actually might be more afraid than I am. Here's the thing that fascinates me absolutely, is we have this beautiful reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Ahaz is a bad king, and he knows he's a bad king, and yet every time the prophet Isaiah comes around, the first thing he says is, "Why are you trying to drag me down? Why are you trying to ruin my buzz?" But he's afraid of Isaiah. And because he's afraid of Isaiah, he always wants to say the right thing. He has to say the perfect thing every single time. You'll notice he doesn't want to be wrong, which, you know, we're completely different now. Ask any teenager any question ever. They absolutely are willing to be wrong. They think they're right, but they're willing to be wrong. Don't worry. I noticed this most when I was teaching. I taught a boy when I taught a Marian, and anytime I asked a question, if anyone hesitated and thought they might not know the answer, they absolutely will not answer the question. But the other thing that they'll try is they'll try and guess the answer you want. Even if it's an open-ended question, like, what makes you happy? They want to find that thing that's absolutely going to be like the perfect answer for you. And so Isaiah goes to Ahaz, and don't worry, it hasn't changed. In 1,000 years, or 3,000 years, it hasn't changed. He goes to Ahaz and he says, "Ask God for a sign." And Ahaz panics, because just like everyone else, he doesn't want to be wrong. And he wants to find that perfect answer that's going to make Isaiah happy. And so instead of just admitting something that would suffice to be a sign that God is still there, he tries to come up with like the holy answer that he thinks sounds really holy. And so he says, "I won't tempt God by asking for a sign. Is that the right answer?" And Isaiah says, "Is it bad enough that you make everyone around you just tired of listening to you? Now you have to make God tired of listening to you too?" He says, right there, "Is it not enough that you weary my people? Do you have to weary my God? Because you won't ask for a sign, I'll beat you to it. A virgin shall be with child." Which, according to the latest statistics, happens about 1 out of every 4 pregnancies in the United States now. So apparently, it's not as impressive as it used to be. But at the time, The only thing more impressive is the gospel. Is absolutely the gospel. Because we have in this moment with the gospel, Matthew is telling us how this came about. And what I absolutely love are atheists who try and become critical of this gospel. Because they always say, "Oh yeah, sure, the virgin was with child and it was God, and everyone just took their word for it." Everybody didn't take their word for it. Mary was found with child. Joseph's first reaction was, "You know, I'm out. I don't need it. It's not mine. I don't have to deal with this problem. It's not me. And I can walk away from this. It's not a problem." And Joseph would have been justified. It wouldn't have been a bad guy for that. He was betrothed to a woman who turned up pregnant while they were engaged. And he knew it wasn't him. That's not exactly on Joseph. And then he goes to sleep, something that Joseph should learn better. After all the angel visions he had in his life, I really think Joseph should learn better. He just is not allowed to sleep anymore. But he went to sleep, and an angel appeared to him. And you can tell a lot by a situation based on what people say to you. Do you ever notice how if you're trying to cross something dangerous, they all tell you not to look down, and the very next thing you want to do is look down because they told you not to look down? Anyone who comes into my office and says, I just want 5 minutes of your time, I immediately assume they want half an hour. The first thing the angel says is, don't be afraid. The last time I heard someone come in and tell me not to be afraid, I panicked. I was ready to be afraid. But the angel comes in and says, very first word, don't be afraid. I think there's something fear-worthy here. The angel comes in and he says this to Joseph, and in that moment, the angel says, look, you're right. This doesn't make sense. And ordinarily, walking away would make sense too. But this is a special circumstance. A virgin was found with child. Because in this particular situation, God has intervened. Why? Because he's fulfilling what Isaiah spoke of hundreds of years ago. And he will be God with us. You'll name him Jesus, which means God saves. You'll name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And everyone will be confused because they don't know if his name is Jesus or Emmanuel. But it means that there's something behind each and every one of these names. Because in this action, in this beautiful and holy event that we will witness in just a few days, God visits his people. We're almost there. We're so close. We kind of have a preview. We're standing room only tonight, so we kind of have a preview of what that'll look like. Except that half the people won't know how to respond because, you know, these are new translation words. You know, it's only been 3 years, you know. So make sure you lend your card, you know, the card in the pew. Make sure you lend that out in a few days, because on Wednesday, trust me, nobody's going to know the response. We'll even try to configure and see how many people get confused. It'll be a lot of fun, too. Because God visited his people. And in this brilliant and incredible and innocent moment, the whole world is filled with light. And we celebrate it now in December because this is the dark. It's as dark as it gets. It's December 21st. It's literally the shortest day of the year. From here on in, everything gets brighter. Now, whether we're at a great part in our life or a struggling part in our life, whether we're up or down, in or out, I want you to remember this very important fact. Spiritually and physically, everything gets brighter from here.